Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Chavav, and we will begin on Daf Chavav of an Aleph at the end of the second line. Tanya. We learned in a Braisa. Am Chananya Benet. Kavya. Kaisrei Sforim. Those that write Sifrei Torah. Tfilin. Those that write the Tfilin. Mezuzas. Hain. The actual Sifrim. Vitagrayim. Vitagrei Tagrayim. The brokers. And sometimes there's more than one broker involved in selling these items. The kol ha'oiskim b'melecha shemayim, whoever is involved in doing mitzvahs, lesuye, which comes to include moichei tcheles, those that sell the tcheles for the tzitzis, peturim and a krishma and a tefillah and a tefillah, apart from these mitzvahs, mekom mitzvahs avoros b'tayra, from all mitzvahs, v'kayim divrei Rabbi Yosef Aglili, as we learned Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, shari Rabbi Yosef Aglili, oimer, as Rabbi Yosef Aglili taught us in the previous year, ha'isak b'mitzvah, potter in a mitzvah. Somebody is involved in a mitzvah, he's potter from doing another mitzvah. So the Mefarshim discuss this Gemara. The first thing they say is, kaisei sforim tefillin mezuzas. So the Magen Avraham discusses what will be the halacha if someone is a cipher, writes sifrei Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, but that's his job. He does it as a profession. He earns a living that way. When the Gemara here is saying that somebody who does this is not mechuyev to do other mitzvahs, does it mean because he's doing it l'shem shemayim, or is it even if he's doing it for business, he's potter? Magen Avraham seems to say that if he's doing it for pay, then this Gemara doesn't apply. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bi'ur Halacha has a discussion about this, and the Bi'ur Halacha says that if the person's main intention is l'shem shemayim, to be a cipher l'shem shemayim, it happens to be that he also earns a living, says the Mishnah Berurah, he's considered an oisik b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. The Mishnah Berurah goes on to say another interesting point. He says there's a difference, although the Gemara speaks both about the cipher who writes the actual stam and the person who sells it, the Mishnah Berurah says there is indeed a difference, and a person who's a cipher is more considered oisik b'mitzvah, he's actually writing the Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, versus someone who's just in the business of selling it. The Bi'ur Halacha also quotes a Levush. The Levush says that this is an interesting Gemara. He says the Gemara is saying that if somebody's a cipher and he has to go to do a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do another mitzvah. So let's think about a halacha l'maisa. I'm a cipher. I'm writing tefillin, and someone comes in and comes time to daven mincha. So the Gemara is saying I don't have to go daven mincha. I could continue writing. Explains the Levush. When is this halacha relevant? If the person who wants to buy the tefillin, if I won't write the tefillin right now, or won't sell him the tefillin right now, he won't be able to have it, he won't wait, and he won't have tefillin. And he won't have anywhere else to go. But let's say I could tell the person, listen, I have to go to Daven Mincha, I'll be back in 15 minutes. Or, if there's another person that he could go to, then obviously the Gemara is not relevant. Interesting, from here we see, the Shas HaTshuvas Bar Yitzchak says, how important writing Sefer Torah is, and that's why he says there was a minig. We're used to having a minig that when somebody completes writing a Sefer Torah, they make a Suda. From here we see that when they used to start writing Sefer Torah, they also made a Suda. Taisus says, the Gemara says, V'kala oiskim v'lecha shemayim. What's the Gemara mean to say it? So Taisus says, since we used this concept before, the Gemara keeps on using the same Lashon. L'suyim moichei tcheles. So the Mefarshim want to know what's so unique about somebody who sells tcheles that we need to say that he also is considered an oisik b'mitzvah. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that in those days tcheles was pretty common. So to get tcheles is easy. So I would say if I'm selling tcheles, it shouldn't be considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara, even somebody selling something which is easy to get is considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Another pshat I saw is that there's a difference between tefillin and tcheles. Tefillin, a Jew is obligated every day to put on tefillin. Techelis, you're not obligated to put on tefillin. Techelis, if you happen to have a four-cornered beged, you have to put on techelis. So I would say that somebody sells techelis is not considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Teaches us the Gemara that's considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Another pshat is that we know that techelis is not essential to be mekayim the mitzvah. We don't wear techelis. So I would say selling techelis is not that important because you can mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis without techelis. Teaches us the Gemara that even somebody who's selling something which is a non-essential mitzvah item is still considered an oisik b'mitzvah. Then the Gemara continued with somewhat of a long language. L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili, shoyi Rabbi Yosi Aglili, oimer, oisik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. Why didn't the Gemara just say, whoever does this is an oisik b'mitzvah, it's patur b'mitzvah. Why did the Gemara have to give this whole long introduction? So the Aruch in there answers. He says, yesterday we learned oisik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. But I would think who's considered an oisik b'mitzvah? Someone who's actually fulfilling a mitzvah. The people that we discussed in our Gemara aren't actually fulfilling a mitzvah. They're just setting up a situation where somebody could do a mitzvah. So I would say that that's maybe not under the category of oisik b'mitzvah. Tells us the Gemara, l'kayim divrei Reb Yosi Aglili. We want you to know that the definition of oisik b'mitzvah is a very broad definition. And it does not only include people who are actually fulfilling a mitzvah, but it also includes people who make other people be able to be mekayim a mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Halacha drachim b'yoyim, p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim. If somebody's traveling by day, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. He's traveling. V'chayovim b'layla, but he has to sit in the sukkah in the evening. He's not traveling. Halacha drachim b'layla, if he's traveling in the evening, p'turim in a sukkah b'layla, v'chayovim b'yoyim. He has to sit by day. So first of all, Tosfos explains that how do we know that somebody who's traveling doesn't have to sit in the sukkah? Because as we said yesterday, the pasuk says teishu kain taduru. So you have to sit in the sukkah just like you sit in your home all year. So all year round, people leave their home to travel. So too on sukkah, so a person's allowed to travel. There's a machloikis, Magen Avraham and Levush, how to understand this Gemara. The Magen Avraham takes a more stringent opinion, and he says that a person traveling doesn't have to build a sukkah, but l'chatchila should look for a sukkah. And at night, when he's not traveling, he's obligated, if there's no sukkah available, to build a sukkah. The Levush is more makel. He says a person who's traveling by day, during the day, doesn't have to look for a sukkah at all. He's traveling. And at night, says the Levush, he has to look for a sukkah, but if there's no sukkah available, he doesn't have to build one, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Says Rav Moshe, based on this Gemara, a very relevant shaila loch lemaisa, who is considered a person that's traveling that's not obligated to sit in the sukkah? So Moshe says, if we look into Rashi, Rashi says, b'schoira, somebody's traveling to do business. So says Rashi, says Moshe, what's pshat? That if somebody's in business, so he takes business trips. So if somebody takes a business trip on sukkahs, and he doesn't have the ability to sit in the sukkah, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. But says Moshe, if somebody's going to take a trip, just go touring, and he ends up in a place where there's no sukkah, he has no right. You don't have to go touring and end up in a place that you won't be in a sukkah. Rabbi Yashiv disagrees. Rabbi Yashiv says, the Gemara says, Halchit Rachim. The Gemara doesn't start qualifying why you're traveling. It says Rabbi Yashiv, even if you traveled for leisure, and now you're in a place where there's no sukkah, the Gemara says you're parted from a sukkah. Well, Rabbi Yashiv, he says Rashi's only giving you an example. Rashi's not saying it only schayra. Interestingly enough, Rav Moshe, in another tshuva, seems to retract somewhat. Because Rav Moshe says that, yes, it's chol hamoed, don't take a trip when you know that you're going to end up in a place where there's no sukkah. But he says, let's say you go for sukkahs, for the whole yontif, to a place. You go out, there are all sorts of tours. And you go to a place, and then you're in that country or in that city, and in that city that not that many sukkahs available. And chol hamoed, you go somewhere in the city and you end up in a place where there's no sukkah, the Rav Moshe says that's alright. He says chol hamoed to especially take a trip to a place where there's no sukkah is not permitted. But if you're spending the entire yontif in a place where aren't that many sukkahs available, you're not limited to remain in your hotel or in that home for the whole sukkahs. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, lachatchila, a person should not take a trip on Chol HaMoed where he will end up without a sukkah. But if b'dieved he ended up in such an area, he's certainly allowed to eat if there's no sukkah available. Continues the Gemara. Somebody's traveling by day and night. Somebody went to travel for a dvar mitzvah. So if Rishonim ask, what is the difference between holchim dvar mitzvah and the holchid rochim? So the answer is follows. Holchid rochim, we just explained, when they're not obligated to sit in the sukkah, when they're actually traveling. So if they're traveling by day, they don't have to sit by day. If they're traveling by night, they don't have to sit by night. But when they're not traveling, they don't have to sit, they have to sit in the sukkah. Holchim dvar mitzvah, nobody travels 24 hours. It's talking a situation where the person's only traveling, let's say, by day. But since his trip is a trip with dvar mitzvah, even by night, when he's not actually traveling, he will not have to sit in the sukkah. But here there's a machloikis, rishonim, how far this exemption goes. Tosfos says that the exemption only goes that if I'm traveling by day, the dvar mitzvah, and at night, if I'm going to search for a sukkah, it's going to interfere with my trip, then I don't have to look for a sukkah. But let's say it's not going to interfere with my trip, so even though I'm holking the dvar mitzvah, I would have to look for a sukkah. The Ran disagrees. He says, if I'm occupied with a mitzvah, it's very similar to something we discussed yesterday, then even though now it doesn't necessarily interfere with the trip, I'm still parted from the sukkah. When they used to come to the home of the Reish Galusa on the Shabbos of Yontem, when the Reish Galusa would make a major drasha, a major address, have a gona arkas of the Surah, they would sleep on the beach of Surah, not in a sukkah. I mean, they would say, Anan shluchi mitzvah anan, we're shluchi mitzvah, because we're doing a mitzvah. They were actually doing two mitzvahs. One mitzvah was that they went to hear the drasha, they went to hear the shir, and another mitzvah it was that they went to greet the Reish Galusa, the Rebbe, on Yontif, and Peturim and Shlu, Oisli mitzvah, Potim and a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah, as we're going to learn in the next shir, of Chayiv Odom L'Hagbul Pnei Rabbi Beregel, and therefore, they went to greet their Rebbe, and therefore they're exempt from sitting in the Sukkah. Actually, this is somewhat of a difficult Gemara, because the Noida Behuda, very famous Noida Behuda, the Noida Behuda says, the Gemara we're going to learn tomorrow says, Chayiv Odom L'Hagbul Pnei Rabbi Beregel. Ask the Noida Behuda that you have to go greet your Rebbe on Yontif. Ask the Noida Behuda that din is not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Why not? Says the Noida Behuda that din only applied when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So just like someone had to go to Oyla Regel, to the Beis HaMikdash, he also had to greet his Rebbe. But now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, there's no Aliyah L'Regel, there is also no Chiyuv to L'Hagbul Pnei Rabbi B'Regel, and that's why it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So they ask the Noida Behuda, these Amoraim lived after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, yet the Gemara is teaching us that they had a mitzvah to greet their Rebbe on Yontif. Explain the Mefarshim, what the Noida Behuda means to say is that there is no obligation for one to go greet his Rebbe on Yontif. However, certainly, if somebody does it, he's metayim a mitzvah. And that's what they were doing, and that's why they weren't obligated to sit in the sukkah. Tana Rabbanan. No, it's only B'shal Shugon. Tana Rabbanan. Sharmei Ir, people who are guardsmen of the city, B'yoyim p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim, if their job is to guard the city by day, so they're not obligated to sit in the sukkah during the day, v'chayovim b'layla, but they have to sit in the sukkah by night. Shomer ir belaila, those that sit in the sukkah at night, peturim as sukkah belaila, those that watch the city at night, are potter at night, v'chayovin b'yoyim. Shomer ir, bein b'yoyim, bein belaila, if the job is 24 hours a day, peturim as sukkah, bein b'yoyim, bein belaila. Shomer ganas pradesim, people who watch the fields, again, if their job is a 24-hour job, peturim bein b'yoyim, bein belaila. Ask the Aruch Lener, why does the Gemara have to give us two examples? People who guard the city and people who guard the fields. It's all the same point. It matters when you work. When you work, you're not obligated. And we'll see why soon. So the Aruch Lener explains. Shomer Ir, what does that mean? That they're watching the city. So he gives an example. Let's say somebody lives in a yeshuv in Israel. And they have turns that somebody has to stand watch. Every night, somebody else stands watch. So they're obligated to do it. It's not a job that they volunteered for. So then I would understand they have to do this job and they're not obligated to sit in the sukkah. However, Shem Ganes of Bedeisim is not a job that you're obligated to do. You chose to take the job of being a watchman. So perhaps, who says that you should take such a job? Don't take a job that will put you in a situation that you can't sit in the sukkah. Teaches us the Gemara there is no problem. If that's your job, and now you're in a situation that you can't sit in the sukkah because that's your job, there's no problem. Ask the Gemara, V'led di sukkah hosim v'leisu. So why don't they build a sukkah in the field and sit there? Abai amit teshvikein tadur. So the machloikis harishonim how to understand this teshvikein tadur. Rashi says, teshvikein tadur means that the Torah teaches us that you have to sit in the sukkah like you sit in your home. So, like we learned, and we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem, when you sit in the sukkah, you have to bring out all of your nice kalim and your furniture. You can't build a sukkah like that in the field. So therefore, since you can't have such a sukkah, you're not obligated to build a sukkah. The Miri takes it a step further. He says, let's say you bring your nice dishes and your nice kalim into the sukkah and it starts to rain. So what do? You take them in. But let's say you'll take it into the field and it starts to rain. What are you going to do? So that's why you don't have to sit in the sukkah. The Ritva has a different approach to the Gemara. He says, Teshvikein Tadura means, what the Torah tells us is, that on sukkahs, instead of sitting in your house, sit in the sukkah. But these people never sit in their house. They sit in the field. So it's like they don't live in a house. They don't have to live in a sukkah. Rava says a different explanation. Pirtzakar Laganov. If they're going to sit in a hut, they're going to sit in the sukkah, they're watching a whole big field. The ganef knows he's in the sukkah, so he could go to the rest of the field. So Tosfos explains, it's not to say that Rava doesn't agree with Teshvikein Tadur. Teshvikein Tadur is a Gemara that we're going to learn many times, everybody agrees to. Just Rava says Teshvikein Tadur is not applicable here. Why? Because Teshvikein Tadur, according to Rava, teaches us how to build the sukkah, but not where to build a sukkah. According to Rava, build a sukkah in the field also. That's not a contradiction to Teshvikein Tadur. Why don't you have to build a sukkah in the field? For a different reason. Because it's asking for ganovim. Ask the Marmai Benai, what's the practical difference between Abai and Rava? Says the Gemara, Ikka Benai, the Kaminta Kari, the Peri. Let's say you're only watching one pile of fruit. So if the problem is that ganovim, that's not a problem, because you put the pile right in front of the sukkah, sit in your sukkah, and watch the payers. If the issue, however, is Teshvikein Tadur, then you're not obligated to build the sukkah. So we learned in the Mishnah, Cholim u'mishamshayim, the people who are sick and the people who attend them are not obligated to sit in the sukkah. Tanabon, Cholim shomer, when the Mishnah discusses a sick person not obligated to sit in the sukkah, like chayil shesh besakana. It's not talking about somebody who's a chayil shesh besakana. Or afil chayil shesh besakana. He's not that dangerously ill. Afil chosh be'enov. Afil chosh be'roish. He just has an eye ailment or a headache. And Taisha says, even if it would be a person that you would not be allowed to be mechal Shabbos for. Still, if he's a chayil, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Om Rav Shimon Gamliel, Pamachas chashti be'enai. Once I had my eyes were hurting when I lived in Kisri. I and the people who took care of me may sit chutz l'sukkah, outside of the sukkah. To shine him, explain why are the people who attend a sick person exempt from sitting the sukkah? Two reasons. Either because they're oisik mitzvah, part of mitzvah, they're taking care of a sick person, or teshvikein tadur. They have to be where their job is, and the job is with the sick person. Says the Gemara, Rav Sharler of Achabadla, Rav allowed Rav Achabadla, Lamigda Bekilsa, to sleep under a canopy bed, even though we learned earlier in the Masechta that sitting under a canopy is not permitted in the sukkah, Mishimbaki, because the sukkah that he built had in it ants, and the ants bothered him. Rav Sharler of Achabadla, Lebigna Bam Talasoi, to sleep outside of the sukkah, Mishum Sircha de Gagishta. The earth was giving off a foul odor, and it was difficult for him to sleep there, so he said sleep outside the sukkah. So there's a number of very important halacha lemaisa points to make here. The first shaila is the Rosh shaila. The Rosh asks that we learned earlier that if somebody builds a sukkah with schach that gives off a bad odor, it's a disqualified sukkah. So how come this sukkah is not a disqualified sukkah if there are ants there or there's a foul odor? So the Rosh answers, the ants weren't so troublesome. They were only troublesome to him. He was extremely fickle. So those ants bothered him. But the people who built the sukkah weren't aware of, didn't bother them. So it's a kosher sukkah. Another answer given is that when they built the sukkah, they weren't aware that there would be a problem with those ants. Only later it was discovered. Another answer I saw is that certainly you're not allowed to build a sukkah l'chatchil in such a place. But let's say you have no other option, then the sukkah is kosher. Then the sukkah is kosher. And that was the situation here. This Gemara is also a proof to something that we discussed. We discussed, let's say it starts raining on sukkahs. We're going to learn, if it's raining, you're not mechuyev to sit in the sukkah. But star potim in the sukkah. But now you have an option. Let's say you have a sukkah with an awning. So you could stay in the sukkah with the awning, or go in. So we explained that it's better to stay in the sukkah with the awning. This is the proof. He couldn't stay in the sukkah because of the ants. So they didn't tell him go in. They told him put on the canopy, put on the awning. So it's better to remain in the sukkah with the awning than to go inside. Because there are certain days that b'di'evet that's considered like you sat in the sukkah. This Gemara, actually, I saw interesting Shailin, the Shalom Mitzvah Ba'alacha. Shlomo Zalman Braun says that when he was still in Europe, there was a situation that the sukkah that he was staying in for Yontif was built next to a flour mill. And apparently, a flour mill. And apparently at night, when they closed the lights in the sukkah, because it was right next to the flour mill, a lot of ants and insects came out. And he went and asked the shayla, is that a kosher sukkah? Because those ants bothered everybody. So he was told, since when the lights are on, the sukkah is a good sukkah, so that's still considered a kosher sukkah. And this shayla, actually, I saw, is relevant in a number of situations. A number of years ago, unfortunately, we remember, there was the intifada during sukkahs. And in certain neighbors in Yerushalayim, they were told that you can't stay in the sukkah, because it's dangerous. So they only ate the meals in the sukkah. So the question is, if it's sukkah that had these problems, is it a kosher sukkah? And the answer is, I saw from Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, that it's considered a kosher sukkah. Because when we speak about a sukkah being disqualified because of ants or because of a foul smell, there the problem with the sukkah is in the sukkah itself. In the case of the bombs, there's nothing wrong with the sukkah. It's an outside factor that has nothing to do with the sukkah. It gives a good example. Let's say you live in a place where it's very cold sukkahs. And therefore it's impossible to stay in the sukkah overnight. It's just too cold. The Ramah says that's the case that it was all over Europe. That's why the Ramah says the minig in Europe was that a lot of people didn't sleep in the sukkah. Although as we're learning the Gemara, there's probably more of an inyan to sleep in the sukkah than eat in the sukkah. So he said that doesn't disqualify the sukkah because that has nothing to do with the sukkah. That has to do with the weather. And that's why it's a qualified sukkah. The Prima Gadim makes an interesting observation on this Gemara. He says, what were these people told? Don't sleep in the sukkah. But they weren't told don't eat in the sukkah. Because sleeping in the sukkah, staying in the sukkah, it has a foul odor or has insects. To stay like that a whole night, I can't. But to eat the short meal, I have to. And the Sharetzion brings this lahaloch lemaisa. Because we've already discussed the Shaila. Let's say somebody builds a sukkah in a place where you can eat but not sleep. Number of issues. Let's say the sukkah is very small. Can't sleep in it, but you could eat in it. Or let's say the sukkah is built in the middle of the street. So a person could eat in the sukkah, but he's not going to stay in the middle of the street sleeping all night. So the Sharetzion proves from this Gemara that a sukkah that's only usable for eating, even though it's not usable for sleeping, is still a kosher sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rav Tamei, why do these people exempt from sleeping in the sukkah? Dama Rav Mitzar Potem in the sukkah. Somebody who is Bitzar from sitting in the sukkah doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, for Nantanan, Chol Umisham Sheyem, those that are sick and the people who attend them, Paturim in a sukkah. That's what we just learned in the Mishnah. It seems to teach us, Chol in, only a sick person is exempt. Mitztaroloi, but somebody who's just not comfortable in the sukkah is not exempt. Says the Gemara, no. Chol, a sick person, Hu Umisham Shapaturim. Not only is he exempt, but even the people who are taking care of him are exempt. Mitzdar, however, somebody who's in pain, who potter, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah, misham shavloi, but not the people that attend them. And then, as we said yesterday, there's a shaila, the misham shechayla, are they exempt all of the time, or are they only exempt when they're taken care? This halacha mitzdar, potam and a sukkah, is a very relevant halacha. We have to understand that it's relevant for a very simple reason. Let's say somebody's uncomfortable and sitting in the sukkah, but he still sits in the sukkah. Fine. But he can't make a bracha leisha b'sukkah, because he's potam in a sukkah. So if somebody's potam, how can he make a bracha? That's why the bir halacha, interestingly, says, let's say it's cold on sukkahs. You have to make sure to dress warmly. Because if you're not going to dress warmly and you're going to sit in the sukkah, you're b'tzar. And if you're b'tzar, you're not allowed to be sitting in the sukkah. You're allowed to be sitting in the sukkah. Nobody could stop you. But you're potam, you can't make a bracha. So he says, make sure to dress warmly to make sure that you should not be a mitzar and be able to certainly make the bracha. The Sfas Emes says, what is the shear of tzar? How do we know when you're b'tzar? So he quotes the Rishonim that the definition of tzar is that if you were in your home and you felt this way, you would leave your home. That's called b'tzar. But the Sfas Emes asks an interesting question. There's two ways that a person will leave his home. If he has a second home, he's quicker to leave his home than if he has nowhere to go. If you know where to go, you're going to stay there because you have nowhere better to go. What is called mitzar? Is mitzar only to the degree that you'll leave the house even if you have nowhere else to go? Or is mitzar even if you leave the house because you have another place to go? So the Sfas Emes says that even if you have another place to go, that's even that lower level of mitzar is already considered mitzar, and he's potam in a sukkah. The Paiskim also say, let's say your lights go out in the sukkah. That's called b'tzar. To sit in the sukkah, eat a meal without any lights is tzar. But now the shaila is like this. You're b'tzar in the sukkah because you have no lights. So what's the halacha? Could you go to your home or you could go to a neighbor? So they say b'tzar, put them in a sukkah and you can eat in your house. Again, that's not the first night. And again, I'm not saying that's what people should do, but the Poskim say, mitzar patam in a sukkah, you're a mitzar, and you could eat in your home. In fact, I saw the shaila mitzar patam in a sukkah goes a step further. Let's say it's sukkahs, and you are sleeping in the sukkah, and it starts to rain, or it started to rain before you went to sleep, so you go to sleep in your house. And then it stops to rain. The halacha is, you don't have to be woken up and go to the sukkah. Why? Because that's also called mitzar, to have to get up in the middle of the night and start schlepping into the sukkah is a mitzar. And that's why the halach is that if somebody went to sleep beheter outside of the sukkah, doesn't have to go back to the sukkah even when it stops to rain. I saw a very big chiddush. I saw a very, very big chiddush for Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says that normally we know that on Shabbos Yontif, you're not allowed to kill an insect. The Tilos Neshama is a malacha. He says, let's say you're in a sukkah, and there's a fly in the sukkah, and the fly makes you uncomfortable. So he says, you're allowed to kill the fly. Why? Because it's eichel nefesh. You're killing the fly so to be able to eat in the sukkah. On yontif, you're allowed to do a malacha, that's eichel nefesh, and therefore you could kill a fly. I saw Rabbi Yoshev disagrees with Rabbi Yaakov. He says, that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshua says that even though he's machmer, that you not even spray insect repellent on one of these things that kill the bugs, that you not allowed to spray on Shabbos Yontif, he says he would be makel that if you had flies in your sukkah, that you could spray it. But to kill a fly or to catch a fly, he will not agree with Rabbi Yaakov. On Yontif, because there's no dinner mitzvah in your house. In the sukkah, there's a dinam mitzar potter in the sukkah, so you have to avoid the tzar. There's no dinam mitzar potter from your house. So it's a din dafkin sukkah. Continues the Gemara. Oichlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. So we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, let's review the words. Oichlin v'shoysen arai chutz l'sukkah. We're allowed to eat and drink arai chutz l'sukkah. And there's an interesting machloikus rishonim, how to understand this line of the Mishnah. Very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. Oichlin is very simple. A temporary thing, and we'll define it, may be eaten outside the sukkah. But what about a permanent meal? Is not mutter chutz l'sukkah. What's going to be halacha on shtiyah? Does the Mishnah mean to say, oichlin arai chutz l'sukkah, v'shoysen arai chutz l'sukkah? But shtiyah, which is a shtiyah's kva, may not be done outside the sukkah. Or is shtiyah always mutter chutz l'sukkah? What would be the halacha l'maisel nafkamina? Are you allowed to make kiddush on a cup of wine or grape juice outside the sukkah? Because that's a shtiyah's kva. Making kiddush, it's very important. Do we say that all drinking is mutter chutz l'sukkah? Or only a rai drinking is mutter chutz l'sukkah, but an arai, but if it's kva, even though it's just drinking, it's also chutz l'sukkah. It's mechlokes beis Yosef in the Ramah. Says the Gemara, v'kamachil sarai, what's considered a temporary meal? Amar Rav Yosef, tanti t'las bei, two or three eggs. So the Mefarshim ask, is it two or is it three? So I saw that Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horovitz, the Agos Re'im, and the back of the Gemara answers the Gemara this way. There's a machloikas mesech the Ervin, what is considered a sudas kva. One man d'Amas says a sudas kva is four bayim, and one man d'Amas says that a sudas kva is three bayim. So the man d'Amas that holds a sudas kva is three bayim will hold a chilas rai is three. The man d'Amas holds a chilas kva is three bayim will hold a chilas rai is two bayim. However, that's not the halacha. Amal abaya, v'zimna segin sagalei l'inshi b'hacha. Many times people eat two, three bayim, vavle sudas kva. That's already considered a sudas kva. Al omra bayu, what is the shear that may be eaten chutz l'sukkah? K'tom b'rav v'ay l'kala. They used to give shear in the morning. But the halach is, this is what the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, the halach is that before somebody goes to a shear, he has to eat, because you have to eat breakfast. But they were in the rush, because everybody's always running late. So they ate a quick breakfast. How much was a quick breakfast? A mouthful. Which the Paiskim say is a beya. So the halach is, you're allowed to eat less than a beya, bread or cake, chutz l'sukkah. Once it's more than a beya, you have to eat a toicha sukkah. Tana bon, oichla achil sarai chutz l'sukkah. We're allowed to eat a temporary meal, chutz l'sukkah. Ve'en yishenim shina sarai chutz l'sukkah. But to sleep, even a short nap, has to be done in the sukkah. My tama, omer Rav Ashi, gzeirah shem yordim. We're concerned that even though you start with a short nap, the short nap ends up being a nice, good sleep. Amar Abaya, Ella, Hadatanya, we learned the Masechta Brachas, Yoshin Adam Shina Sarai B'Tfilin, a person is allowed to take a quick nap in Tfilin, Avloy Shina's Kva. Why? Because we're concerned that when a person takes a full nap, full-fledged, goes sleeping, he may pass gas. That you're not allowed to do in tefillin. However, if he takes a short nap, we're not concerned. But ask the Gemara, Leiches Shemi Yerdeim, why are we not concerned that if the person just takes a short nap in the tefillin, he'll end up taking a full-fledged, end up sleeping, if this is a concern? Ask the Aruch Haner, how could you compare the situation? In the sukkah, it's also to sleep chutz l'sukkah. So that's why we're concerned, Shemi Yerdeim. But here, there's no issa to sleep in tefillin. So how could you compare the two situations? There's an issa to pass gas in tefillin. But that's not the same. So the Aruch Haner explains the Gemara, and this is an explanation in the entire Gemara. The truth of the matter is, this person went to take a nap. Most people who take a nap are going to take a nap. They have what to do. They don't have time to sleep now. Yet we see that Chazal were very concerned, and they said that even though your intention was only to take a short nap, we're concerned you're going to end up sleeping. So just like we see how seriously Chazal were concerned that naps turn into more than that, so too we should be concerned by tefillin. Why aren't Chazal concerned by tefillin? Amar Rav Yosef Reider of Eli, b'maisa shinos l'cheirim. He asked somebody to wake him up. That's why he's allowed to take a short nap in tefillin, because he asked somebody to wake him up. The person you asked, who's going to guarantee you that he's going to do his job? Maybe he'll fall asleep. So again, the Aruch Haner, the same Aruch Haner says, how far do we have to be worried? I'm intending to take a short nap. Not only did I intend just to take a short nap, I asked somebody to wake me up. So how far do we have to be worried? So he says again the same Teretz. Since we see that Chazal was so concerned, we obviously have to be concerned even for remote concerns. We're dealing with a situation where the person who's sleeping in the tefillin, not laying down in a bed, he just puts his head down between his knees. And since he puts his head down between his knees, it's guaranteed that he's not going to take a long nap. He can't sleep too long in such an uncomfortable position. But by sukkah, we're more concerned. Shema Yerdem. We'll explain why in a moment. Explain why in a moment. But the Rishonim ask a very fundamental question. We're speaking about tefillin, don't take a long nap, Shema Yafiach. Short nap is mutter. But there's aloch yinalabi masiach das in tefillin. When you're wearing tefillin, you have to have in mind the tefillin. When you take a short nap, you're not thinking about your tefillin. So Ritva answers, bichidish, that the definition of that you're not allowed to be masiach das and tefillin means that you're not allowed to do something inappropriate in tefillin. Here I'm not doing anything inappropriate, and that's already not considered hesach das. Ask the Shagas Aryeh, but the Rambam says differently. That the Rambam explicitly says that when a person's wearing tefillin, he has to be thinking about the tefillin all the time. So we're back to Al-Kasha, asked the Shagas Aryeh. While I'm taking even a short nap, I'm not thinking about the tefillin. Answers the Shagas Aryeh that the Rambam, even though the Rambam holds that I'm not allowed to be mesiach das from tefillin, the Rambam will agree that if it's for a very short interval, which is the amount of time that you're allowed to sleep in tefillin, that you're allowed to be mesiach das. And that's what happened here, that I only took a short nap, and that's why it's not an issue. Rav Amar, Rav says, Ein Kfal Hashim. Rav says that when you take, we're not worried about Shema Yerdem. That's why sukkah, that's why in tefillin, you're allowed to sleep, you're allowed to take a nap. The Machlokes Rishonim, what Rav will hold is mutter by tefillin. Will Rav hold that any nap is permitted in tefillin, or will Rav still agree that the only nap that's mutter in tefillin is when you sleep in an uncomfortable position? Machlokes Rishonim. However, sukkah is different. Sukkah, the halach is you're not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah. Makes no difference short nap, long nap. Because sometimes a short nap is all you need. Because what does a person sleep for? To get refreshed. So sometimes a person could sleep a couple of minutes, he wakes up refreshed. That's why even a short nap is osur chutz l'sukkah. Tani chad, says the Gemara, we learned the one braisa, yosha adam b'tefillah shinas arai, avol shinas kva. You let it sleep in tefillin a short nap. Betanya edach, ben kva ben arai, both are mutter. Betanya edach, loy kva v'loy arai, nothing. So how do we reconcile these three braises? Says the Gemara, loy kasha. Hadim nakalei b'yadei, if you're holding the tefillin in your hand, you're not allowed to take any nap. Why? Because we're concerned that you may drop the tefillin. When you're sleeping, you don't pay attention to what you're holding. If you're wearing them on your head, shinas arai is mutter, shinas kva is osur. Hada parasudri alei, if you put it next to your head, you cover it, then you're allowed to even have a shinas kva. Why are we not concerned that if you put the tefillin next to your head and you go to sleep, you may roll over on the tefillin and damage them? Says Rashi, Nitna Tara l'malachei sharas. The Tara wasn't given to malachim. We can't be worried about everything. The kamashin is right, but what's considered a short nap? Tana Rama Micheskel, k'day hiluch mei amma. The amount of time it takes to walk 100 amma, the person would say it's about a minute. Tani na mehochi, hayosh b'tefillin, if somebody slept in tefillin of a raw carry, and he had an emission, and he's not allowed to wear the tefillin while he has that on his body, oiches b'ritzua, how does he take the tefillin off his head? By holding the straps, ve'ena oiches b'ktzitza. But he doesn't hold the actual tefillin backs, because the ritzuas are a tashmish kedusha, whereas the ktzitza, the backs itself, is a dovish b'kedusha. Divrei Reb Yaakov. V'chomam yosha adam b'tefillin shinas arai, avaloi shinas kva, v'kama shinas arai, k'dei mehilch me'ama, 100 amma. Amar Rav, Osir Adam Lishim B'Yoyim Yoyim Mishinas Asos. A person is not supposed to sleep during the day more than the time it takes, more than the nap of a horse. The Kam Mishinas Asos, how much is that? Shitin Nishmi. 60 breaths. So Mishnah Berurah quotes three shitas, how much that is. One shita he says is three minutes. Another shita he says is a half an hour. And another shita he says is 3 hours. Pretty big discrepancy.
It's just how long a horse sleeps for.
I guess you have to know which horse to look at. That's Mishnah Berurah quotes. However, there's a few exceptions to the rule. One exception, the Rishonim says, is on Shabbos. Shina b'Shabbos Tanig. On Shabbos, one's allowed to take a nap, and you could sleep longer. Another exception the Pesach can say is, let's say somebody's taking a nap in the afternoon, so he could be up to learn at night, is permissible. However, the Pesach can say, that's only if you go to a shir at night, and you're concerned that you won't be able to listen to the shir because you're going to fall asleep. But let's say the person can learn by day and sleep by night. So it's better to do that. When you can learn, learn, and then go to sleep at night. You should always do a mitzvah, zrizim magdimim l'mitzvahs. Amar Abaya, shin sidamar k'derav. He used to sleep as much as Rav, or the Rav k'derebi, or the Rebbe k'dovid. The David k'desusya. And David slept as much as a horse, the susya shita nishmi. There's a machlokes rishonim, when the Gemara says that David Melech slept shita nishmi, when was that? Did he sleep by day shita nishmi? Or even by night, he only slept shita nishmi? Staruch Lener says, interesting pshat in the Gemara. Firstly, he says there's two reasons why you're not supposed to sleep long by day. Either the reason is because it's bittel Torah, or the reason is because if you sleep longer, it's toimel amisa. It's like not alive, and by day you don't want to do it. By night you have to, not by day. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, let's say a person keeps on taking a bunch of short naps. If the problem is bittel Torah, so you haven't accomplished anything. If the problem is toimel amisa, as long as each nap is short, it's fine. Why did David HaMelech sleep such a short amount of time, he explains? Because he says, we know that sleep is similar to death. We know that Adam HaRishon died young, and the years of his life that he's missing died younger than he was supposed to. He's supposed to live 1,000 years, he lived 930 years. Those extra 70 years went to David HaMelech. So David HaMelech was supposed to, who brought Misa to the world? Adam HaRishon. So who's supposed to correct that problem? David. So that's why David HaMelech never slept. That's pshat, we say, David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. He never slept. Says the Gemara. Abaye have a noyim. Abaye used to sleep. K'dema'ayim l'pambadis l'beikubi. The amount of time it takes to walk pambadis l'beikubi. Interesting, Machlok is showing him how much is that. Some say it was pretty long. It was up to 7 hours. Others say it was much less. Karlai Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef called on him, and Matzai Otzel Tishkov, you lazy person, until when would you sleep? Mosay tokum shnoscha, when you get up. Turn our button. Hanuchnas lishim b'yoyim. If somebody goes to take a nap by day, rotsa choylitz, rotsa meniach. He could take off his tefillin, he could leave his tefillin. However, balayla, if he takes a nap by night, choylitz ain't a meniach. He has to remove him. Divrei remnosa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yossi says, yuladim, young people, la'oilam choltsim ain't a meniachim. Always have to remove the tefillin, neshir guilim betumma. Because they were concerned they're going to have tumma. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Lame kasav Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is concerned that a young person who will have improper thoughts will become a balkari, and a balkari asla niyach tefillin, and that's why he should always remove the tefillin. On Rabbi, so Rabbi said, that's not necessarily pshat. Be yiladim nishasem imon. We're talking about young people who have their wives there. That's who we're discussing, askinon. Shem yavo dei hergel dover. We're concerned that they're wearing tefillin, and they're going to go to the bedroom, and they may end up having relations while they're wearing tefillin. Tanabon. Shochach v'shimech mitosim tefillin. If somebody forgot himself, and while he's wearing tefillin had relations, en oichas loiber tzua v'loiber tzitza, don't hold any part of the tefillin. At sheyitl yada, the first thing is wash your hands. V'yitlein, neshidayim eskoni yaseim, and we're concerned that while you had relations, you touched the covered body, part of the body. So cover the tefillin, wash your hands, and then take off the tefillin from your body. Before we go further, just say, Chassid Shavart, that Tiferes Shlomo says, Chay lepatim in a tefillin, Chay lepatim in a tzukah, mitztar patim in a tzukah. Chay le, if somebody is a chay le, sick, and potter, he wants to get rid of the disease, in a tzukah, he should go into the tzukah. The tzukah has the ability to heal sick people. Mitztar, if somebody's bitzar, he has things bothering him, potter, if he wants to get rid of his tzar, go into the sukkah. The sukkah, we were completely enveloped with the Shekhinah, has the ability to take away all of our diseases and problems. Says the Mishnah. Ma'isa vila Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai litam as a tafshal. They once brought to Rabbi Yochanan just a small taste of food. Ula gemleil, shnei kesavos for delishal mayim. They brought him just 2 dates and a cup of water. Even though these things halachically may be eaten chutz l'sukkah, ve'ema helil l'sukkah. Take him up to the sukkah. He gave him food that wasn't the size of a kebaya. Not labamapa. He didn't wash his hands. He just wrapped his hands in a towel. V'achol chutz l'sukkah. He ate it chutz l'sukkah. V'labirich achrav and didn't bench. Because the halacha is you only have to bench if you eat a kebaya. Why do you wrap his hands? Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says because he wrapped his hands just because of cleanliness. Tosfos says he was a kohen and he was makpid to eat truma but tahara, so that's why he covered his hands. Ask the Gemara. We just learned before that you only achilas kavah is mechuyav to be eaten the sukkah, and here we see that they even ate small amounts. Masa lister. Ask the Gemara. Chsuri mechzvak tani. In boil a hachmer matzah. If somebody wants to be machmer, machmer. The less pay b'shum Yehura, it's not considered that he's acting arrogant. See, I even eat the smallest amount in the chutz l'sukkah. Or ma'is nami v'ilay l'rab gamliel l'biyach b'tzakai litim satavshol or gamliel shnei k'sevs v'dli shamayim v'amru helim l'sukkah. So the mefarshim, and 2 points. L'halok l'maisa, the Rambam says, it's praiseworthy that somebody who's makbit even not to drink water chutz l'sukkah. The only thing is, the Paiskum say, we always have to weigh this. Because we also learned the Gemara's Mitztar Potem and Asukah. So, we see that on Yontif, you have to have an Oneg Yontif. So sometimes a person's so anxious to eat, not, they'll only eat in the Sukkah, only drink in the Sukkah, it may affect his Oneg Yontif. So you always have to weigh what comes first and what comes second. The Mefarshim also ask, how could you be Machmer? The Gemara says that if somebody's Machmer, where you don't have to be Machmer, it's Nikra Hedjit. It's inappropriate. So how could he be Machmer? So I saw 2 answers. One answer is that the person starting with a small meal, but he may end up eating more, which he's mechuyv to eat in the sukkah. That's why he's allowed to be machmer. Another answer is, when are you not allowed to be machmer? When you're doing something wrong. There's nothing wrong with eating a small amount in the sukkah. And that's why you're allowed to be machmer. Achrav, he didn't bench. Is the Gemara's question. It's mashma that if he would have had a beya, then he would have to eat to the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Lame have to yufta Rabbi Yosef Abaya, who we learned earlier in the Shia, said that 2 or 3 bayim you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah. Says the Gemara, that's not pshat in the Mishnah. When you eat less than a beya, netilu brachle beya, you don't have to wash your hands and you don't have to bench. Hakabeya, by netilu brachle, you have to wash your hands and you have to bench. However, regarding the sukkah, it may be that you don't have to eat in the sukkah, like Rav Yosef and Abaye said, until you eat 2 or 3, unless you eat 3 or 4 bayim, 2 or 3 bayim may be eaten chutz l'sukkah.
How do you make kishas?
Oh, that's not a kashrut, because you could eat 2 or 3 for 1.